You are listening to the Critical Mass Radio Show, Orange County's business talk show, focused on exploring topics of interest to CEOs who are leading middle market companies, with your host, Richard Franzi.
And welcome to this edition of Critical Mass Radio Show and Podcast. I am your host, Richard Franzi, and this is podcast episode number 1114. From self-driving cars to automatic machines, technology is taking over much of society, and frankly, we had a very rigorous conversation about that in the studio here before we went live on the air. We'll just leave that conversation for another time. I've invited author, and I'm excited to say author, Lisa Anderson. She's also a business owner. LMA Consulting is her firm. I've known her as a supply chain expert manufacturing consultant, but she's also now a published author. So we're going to talk about technology and manufacturing and being an author. So we're going to have a ranging conversation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's nice to have you on. I'm so proud of you for writing and publishing your book. How do you feel about having a book published now and being a published author?
That's great.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm going to get up, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that are watching us on the live stream, and I didn't bring her book. She was generous, and I'm going to hand my phone to Paul, and Paul's going to put it up on the screen. So that's a digital copy of what her book looks like, the cover. And if someone wants to buy your book, what are they going to learn from reading your book, Lisa?
Actually, they're going to learn a wide ranging set of skills that you need to run a business, a manufacturing or supply chain type organization successfully, from leadership through technology, how to leverage technology for success, and how to ensure that you achieve the financial results and achieve scalable growth.
Okay, and what is the title of your book?
I've been thinking, turning everyday opportunities or everyday interactions into profitable opportunities.
Do you share my belief that running a manufacturing company successfully is one of the most difficult business models out there for business? Manufacturing is challenging?
It certainly is challenging. My clients struggle with it on a daily basis, but I think we're positioned in a great period of time here for success.
Okay. So maybe this will build on that. My first question was really the setup. My second question, which is the point that I make to people that have a manufacturing or even construction business model, is those levers of complexity are also potential drivers of value.
Absolutely true.
Because they're points of differentiation that a service company. I had a banker just on an earlier segment, and they're a great bank. And what we were talking about, much of what they offer are common to other banks. And so how do you differentiate when much of your platform is common? Manufacturers have that advantage in that maybe there's some complexity in their business that they can exploit to the goodness.
Absolutely true. What I find is my most successful clients find a way to provide superior value and service, because manufacturing's not just about producing product anymore. It's really about how do you provide a superior customer experience with manufacturing as one of those elements.
Right. And I've had you... In the spirit of full disclosure, Lisa has been generous to speak on occasion for me to a number of the CEO peer groups that I lead here in Orange County. And part of my memory is in your discussion with them about the importance of a supply chain and a professionally led, managed supply chain, because that really can be a Achilles heel, can't it?
Oh, absolutely, because I consider the supply chain from your supplier through your manufacturing operations, both insourced and outsourced, to your customer's customer. So there's many pieces that can go awry in the middle. So if you can find a way to provide value and provide quicker, better service, you can, outpace your competition.
I have had a career in sales and marketing, and I always espoused how important it was that my clients picked me because I was a good vendor. But until I was the president of Delphi, and I then also had responsibility for purchasing, did I realize how really important it is to have good suppliers. Because now I was more dependent on them, right? I was the customer now. It was a different situation.
It's very true. Yeah, suppliers is absolutely, it's where it starts in a way, because you have to start with your supplier to get materials in order to manufacture successfully. And your customer really does not care about all that goes on behind the scenes. They want to have a superior product, a superior service delivered when they need it, where they need it, almost without telling you, ideally.
Right. Yeah, it should be. And in the space that I was in, we didn't maintain a lot of inventory. We used just-in-time and Kanbans, and so any hiccup in any of the supply chain didn't take long to ripple into the business.
And you
only have to be missing one of the 100 parts it takes to build the product to be down. You're done. You're out.
It's very true. And actually, today, in today's Amazon-impacted environment, one misshipment or one missed opportunity could lead to, you know, a loss of a significant customer because they will go somewhere else. They'll find someone else, and then next thing you know, you've lost a major...
Can we play with that thought for a second? Because you just Amazon has spoiled me as a consumer for my online shopping experience.
Yes, me as well.
they have set the expectation that I have for any vendor as far as communicating status, making it easy, and getting the product in a timely manner, and frankly not paying for it because I'm Prime. Has that bled into the B2B space too, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Customers' expectations?
Absolutely. Regardless of, most of my clients don't compete directly with Amazon. However, they've all been significantly impacted by Amazon and Amazon-like policies. So, in essence, they're expecting to call up and get a customer on the phone on a Sunday or in the middle of the night. I mean, they don't care where you're located.
Right.
I mean, you could have manufacturing in Asia or you could be manufacturing here. So they think 24/7 accessibility, rapid deliveries. So, like, you know, Amazon delivers on next day, same day,
right,
a couple hours later. And many of my clients, especially in like building products industry, which doesn't seem like it would be that time sensitive, but it's like probably one of the most time sensitive industries.
Really?
They expect really rapid deliveries. Food, of course, would expect rapid deliveries as well. But even industries like aerospace, which is known for longer lead times,
exactly,
their lead times are pretty, you know, getting cut in half in essence over time here. So it's impacting everyone. So it's not just lead times. It's lead times, accessibility, expecting you to know what the customers are expecting us to know what we need, what they need, and maybe, you know, send it to them for them so that, you know, you're taking care of the back end. So they just have what they need when they need it, and then they're happy.
Well, in the second block, I wanted to talk to you about technology and how that's disrupting or changing or impacting in a positive and negative way manufacturing and kind of the ecosystem around that. So you opened the door by sort of suggesting this predictive ability that maybe technology could offer.
Yep.
Right? But that would be an aspect, I would think, that even smaller manufacturers can use, right? Technology is pushing its way down into all size companies now. You don't have to be Watson and IBM to figure out how to take advantage of these tools and platforms.
Yes, no, you... I work with the big guys, the multi-billion-dollar companies, and also a small family-owned business, and they all have to utilize technology in a smart way to be successful today, or they'll end up keeping up with the competition in terms of service, but they'll do it at a much higher cost and with much more inventory and cash tied up.
Yeah, brute force.
Yeah,
right. You're going to make it happen by sheer will.
Correct.
That can be exhausting and expensive.
Exactly. So they don't stay around long that way.
Right. They burn out even. I would think that would be very taxing. But then again, you can really fall into the trap of thinking technology is going to solve problems by
very
nature of the technology platform without the customization and the training and the rest of it, right?
Very true. I also help clients select the right ERP system, the system that they use to ship, receive, invoice, that type of thing, along with the peripherals that we'll talk more about. And, you know, it's a common misconception that clients think that if they get the new system, that it'll solve all their issues. And it never does. If you have lousy data going into your system, all you do is you have quicker lousy data.
And more of it, right?
That's right.
More of it.
Yes, and much more of it these days. Yeah,
yeah,
and you can't even figure out what it is that you're looking for anymore. So you really better do something.
Right, you can really confuse the business by that. All right, my engineer is telling us it's time to take our first break. Wow, 10 minutes have flown by with you. So don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen, because when we come back, I promise we're going to talk about technology and its implications after this word from me.
best-selling author Richard Franzi's written what Marshall Goldsmith has called an incredibly poignant foray into the realm of unintended consequences of executives' decisions. In Killing Cats Leads to Rats, Mitigating the Unintended Consequences of Business Decisions, Richard Franzi takes a close look at the impact of unintended consequences on business performance and employee engagement. Through the retelling of the experiences of executives at Pepsi, Wells Fargo, Kodak, Volkswagen, and many others, Richard paints a compelling real-world account for how executives leading firms of all sizes must do a better job of anticipating and controlling the outcomes of their strategic business decisions. Killing Cats Leads to Rats is available through major bookstores in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook formats. To learn more, visit www.richardfranzi.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass Radio Show. You have to excuse me, Lisa is a friend, a longtime friend, and so we were just sort of talking about the impact of her book has had on her business, which has been very positive. So I won't read the whole intro that I normally read. Just let me let you know the radio show has been on the air since 2009. We've reached hundreds of thousands of listeners. If you'd like to subscribe to this podcast, just type in Critical Mass Radio Show into your favorite podcasting software, and you'll get our weekly shows with great guests like Lisa Anderson. So let's talk about technology. We tipped it up a little bit at the last block, but really, in your experience working with manufacturers of all sizes, where are you seeing the positive impacts for technology into their business model?
Well, I think really one of the largest impacts of technology is actually the strategic use of data. Because you brought this up earlier, and that is, everyone's overwhelmed. I mean, before they even, an hour after they're woken up in the morning, they've already received who knows how many emails from the night before, and text messages, and news radio programs. And if they started driving to work, they've driven by billboard signs. So there's just an overwhelming amount of data. And so a key for a business is how do we put this data to good use to make good decisions and look at where we need to go in the future. So one of the ways of utilizing technology is to get the right data from the systems and also to utilize that data.
So in my latest book, Killing Cats Leads to Rats, one of the areas that I talk about in my model to avoid unintended consequences is to not get overwhelmed with data. Because in the era of big data, you don't have to be a large corporation to just have so much data at your fingertips. And I think there's a difference between data and information. I mean, you got to really be able to take that data and make some sense of it, right?
That's right.
And there's, I write about an acronym FOBO, fear of being offline. I mean, and email apnea, which is the suspension of normal breathing because you're anticipating your email. Technology has created such a challenge inside of many businesses. And it can be very distracting. You know, one of the areas that I'm watching because of unintended consequences, Lisa, is the whole area of artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, machine learning, deep learning, all these things that are happening at a breakneck pace with a lot of big companies putting a lot of money behind them.
Yes, absolutely. I'd say they're very prevalent in several ways. Like for in a manufacturing organization, the Internet of Things and machine learning is really coming into play for like preventative maintenance. So instead of just doing maintenance on a preventative maintenance schedule, which was the old way of doing things that was progressive, now it's like, let's figure out where the machine's going to be breaking down right before it breaks down so that we can make sure that we're always up and running. So that's like one example that relates to manufacturing. Some more of the interesting aspects of artificial intelligence where it can really help is in predicting your customer demand. And that's really critical in terms of being able to achieve a superior customer service and have the right product in the right place at the right time at, most importantly, the lowest cost and with the least amount of inventory tied up, which is cash tied up in your system. Well, so that can be really key.
That sounds like manufacturing nirvana.
Yes, exactly. So there's a lot to be said for using predictive analytics to help with forecasting. And, the ports are looking at utilizing more of all of those tools to how do we – it's a big scheduling problem, as you can imagine, having all the the trucks and the ships and, you know, everything else. And how do we know where something is located on a ship? And so technology is coming into play to be able to see where, like, everything is at each point in the supply chain also.
It seems to me that in wherever in your business
you have a lot of data
and you need to kind of make intelligent decisions based on that data, that's where you should be looking at technology and some type of intelligence to help you to filter the data to make better, more informed decisions.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because, I mean, you can go overboard. Some of my clients do go overboard.
Okay.
And then they just, you know, are overwhelmed with a lot of data and really don't have any better information, any information to make a decision anyway. So to your point, it's really in the areas where it's related to a strategic element of your business or a profit driver, or how do you better serve a customer? If you can find a data-intensive area, and, you know, the Internet of Things brings different sets of data together, mm-hmm. you know, between your machines and your
right.
technology, and, like, how do you bring it all together? All it really does is put it in the right place at the right time to make a good decision.
Right. There was a – I heard a speaker talking about American Airlines and how they used to have hundreds of people who were responsible for rerouting planes whenever there was, like, bad weather, because it's all an integrated puzzle, right?
Right.
Moving those planes around, and it's a domino. And it used to take, whenever there was a major issue, those hundreds of employees quite a while to reconfigure the routing map. Turned it into a platform, AI technology, yeah. sucks up all the information, does it much more quickly and much more accurately.
Yeah.
So that we, the airline passenger, aren't as obviously impacted by the negative scheduling. It's those kind of applications where if you can bring a lot of data that needs to be analyzed almost at the same time, that's where you should be applying the
Absolutely.
Technology in your business.
Absolutely true. And it also, in your example, it's a great example because it also relates back to the customer. Because when my plane's delayed, especially with the airlines that I have status on, by the time I land, they've already figured out, like, how I'm going to get there in a less obtrusive way.
Right.
So that's helpful too. But the end result is customer service. But to your point, they use technology in the right aspects to get that.
Right. And with my latest book, Killing Cats Leads to Rats, I'm always looking at unintended consequences. And one of the risks that I think for smaller and middle market companies is you end up advocating. Have you seen this at all? Where people abdicate or allow technology in the platform sort of to make too many decisions for them, where they lose the ability or willingness to make decisions for themselves without letting the machine or the device tell them what is right and wrong.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You have to have high tech along with high touch.
Okay.
So you have to be able to think while you're making decisions. I have clients all the time, especially when we're putting metrics into place or we're trying to utilize data, to your point, that's been captured in one of their many systems, and it comes up with something goofy. And so somebody who hasn't been there a while or maybe just following the process says, you know, this is what's recommended, and, you know, hopefully the owner or somebody will step up and say, wait a minute, this makes no sense, because we've always shipped, you know, I don't know, 100 of these to the East Coast, you know, whatever the situation is. So you have to bring common sense back into the equation as well.
Mm-hmm. And I was at a trade show last week for real estate. It's the largest commercial real estate show in the country in Las Vegas. And one of the exhibitors had a robotic guard. And so I just had to stop and talk to the guy, right, about what am I looking at here and what does this
right.
thing. And it's not the first time that I've seen this concept, but pretty amazing what this little, what looked like an eggshell, basically a 4-foot-tall eggshell with cameras and everything, is capable of doing. And that seems to me to be an area where technology and automation can kind of move into business in a little less threatening way.
True. Yes, several, especially in manufacturing, there's a lot of tasks that are automatable, in essence, where there's no high risk to customers or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the ideal types of tasks for a robot to take on in the beginning, which will help you achieve more, because in some of my clients, they actually set the robot up, not necessarily to just reduce costs, although that could be a part of it, but they actually set it up to improve service, because they needed to produce around the clock, and they could not find enough people to produce around the clock. So they built a robot to produce on second and third shifts, and they could set it up and do everything they needed on first shifts. So that way they could serve their customer and at a lower cost because they didn't need people there in at nighttime.
So that we're running out of time, and I have so many more questions. But one of the things that I am observing, and I wonder if you're closer to it than I, that the humans that are around technology who aren't really using it but are watching and observing it, do you see a culture? Do you work with your clients to say, hey, there's the cultural reality that we now have the second shift, which is not people anymore, it's machines. And for the people that are first shift, how do we make them feel comfortable with this concept?
Yeah, a big part of my practice is looking at change, navigating change successfully, which really isn't getting people used to some negative change. That's really not what it's about. It's about how do you involve people with the change in a positive way, because robots by themselves cannot deliver superior customer service. We need the people and the robots combined. Mm-hmm. So it's how my clients are presenting it to their employees and how they can make it into more of a win-win and give them opportunities to learn. And most people want to play with robots, if you will.
You said something before we even started the show that you think it's a great time to be a manufacturing company in Southern California.
Actually, I think it is the perfect time because we have, with the Amazon effect, which we talked about earlier today, everyone is expecting, every single one of my clients, their customers are expecting immediate delivery. I mean, their lead times are cut in half at best, probably more than that, because they're really expecting really quick deliveries. And they're expecting customizations. They want something for them, because who doesn't want, you know, a customized product for them? So if we want high customization, quick deliveries, you really need to locate manufacturing closer to the customer.
Right.
So that's going to really bring up other technologies like 3D printing as well, more and more in the future, because you can just print on the fly certain items and have them right there. But it's making it so that having manufacturing located closer to the customer, with the ports being here where we can get materials and other manufacturing goods that maybe we assemble as well.
Right.
And we have access to some of the most talented workforce. High tech skills are prevalent in California, and we have access to a large labor pool, which is definitely not the case elsewhere. Some of my clients have thought about moving, and they couldn't find anybody to work for them. So it's kind of like the perfect storm, if you will, in terms of the advantages of manufacturing in Southern California. If we can get the politics to help us as well, that'd be great. But
right.
Nevertheless, we are taking costs out of the system through technology, through robots, and through, you know, delivering very close to the customer. So it's really
Because this is a huge market opportunity in Southern California, right?
Actually, yeah,
LA,
it's like
the whole state, where it's the fifth largest.
It would be the fifth largest state in the
economy.
I mean, that's
in the world,
huge.
Yeah. That's huge.
So
right.
Clearly, yeah. There's plenty of customers.
So you opened up a topic that we unfortunately do not have time. But you know, I think 3D printing can change the way we think about manufacturing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, print, customize, and print as you go. Now, it's not, of course, just like technology, it's never appropriate for every situation.
Right.
But there's plenty of them, and they recently, GE recently printed up a jet engine for it. So, I mean, there's a lot you can do.
I think the whole name is wrong. I think the fact that they picked 3D printing is it limits the concept of what it is.
Yeah. Additive manufacturing is probably a better name.
Exactly.
It's just less known.
Right. It's a little less, yeah, 3D printing, oh, you can write that and people know printing and 3D, okay. But this really is, if you're making an aircraft engine, this isn't making printing out of molds and plastics and stuff. This is making high-stress parts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's high-tech. It is more additive
high
manufacturing.
High tolerance. And it gives you the capability to think differently about quantity and location.
Correct. Correct.
I
why stockpile? There's no room anyway.
Right. I had an entrepreneur on the show who invests in companies, and one of the companies that he's investing in is using 3D printing to make organs.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's being tested, and it still has a lot to go through with FDA. But the belief is, take a piece of your body part, and we'll make another one just like it to replace it. I mean, this is revolution. And this is, in our lifetime, kind of changes that are going to happen.
I know. No, right? I know. It's. I think manufacturing, as a general, is making a comeback for many reasons, and this will just add to it.
Right.
But of course, again, it's always doing it in a smart way and not taking everything as black or white.
Right, and it's not even it's manufacturing, but it's more than manufacturing.
It is.
There's almost like a different word for what it's going to be.
Yes.
And they go, oh yeah, that's how we used to make things, but we don't do it that way anymore because technology has enabled a whole new paradigm.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, customer-focused manufacturing or something.
Whatever.
I don't know, but
I think we are living in interesting times, and you are in an interesting space. So, if someone would like to buy your book, how do they buy your book?
They can go on Amazon. join the crowd.
I'd be surprised if you said it wasn't on Amazon.
That's right. They can go on Amazon or they can go on iTunes and search for Lisa Anderson and the title of. My book, and it should pop right up. You can get it on a Kindle, or you can buy it in hardcover.
Okay. And if they would like to learn more about your consulting firm, how do they find your organization?
So the best way would be to go to my website, which is www.lma-consultinggroup.com.
Okay.
So there's plenty of articles and free information. You can sign up for my newsletter.
Who should do that? What type of companies are you helping?
I help any types of companies that work with products and services. So I focus on manufacturing and supply chain type organizations and products and services.
Yes, and you come very highly recommended. Let me tell you, I can speak from experience that Lisa does. She knows what she talks about, and you can obviously see that here on the radio show. So start with the book and maybe look at our website as well. And thank you for being a friend of the program and a part of the Critical Mass community.
Great. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Thank you. I've been looking forward to having you on the show. Congratulations on your book.
Thank
you. Very happy for you. I'd like to thank Paul Roberts, who's our engineer for today's show. Our producers, without whom this show would not go on, are Joan Park, Crystal Nunley, and Haley Stern. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, I'm Richard Franzi, Franzi. My latest book is Killing Cats Leads to Rats, Mitigating Unintended Consequences of Business Decisions, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, major booksellers. Buy it. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. Until the next show, I hope all of your business decisions will move your company in a positive direction.
You have been listening to Critical Mass Radio Show Business Talk Show, focused on exploring topics of interest to CEOs who are leading middle market companies. With your host, Richard Franzi.